はい、じゃあ今日はヨハネ18章を学びますので、ヨハネ18章を見てください。 Today we're going to look at John chapter 18. So please open with me to John 18. I'll begin with Japanese today and then I'll switch to English for each of three points. Okay, 最初は日本語で話します。そして英語を後で訳します。はい、ではヨハネ18章。長内さん、ヨハネ18章の1から12まで読んでもらえますか。お願いします。
はい、
ありがとうございます。
はい、イエスはこれらのことを話しおいられると、弟子たちと共にケレロンの川筋の向こう側に出て行かれた。そこに園があって、イエスは弟子たちと一緒にそこに入られた。ところでイエスを裏切ろうとしていたユダもその場所を行っていた。イエスがたびたび弟子たちとそこで会合されてからである。そこでユダは一帯の兵士と祭司長、パリサイ人たちから送られた役人たちを引き連れて、灯火と松明と武器を持ってそこに来た。イエスは自分の身に起ころうとするすべてのことを知っておられたので、出てきて誰を探すのかと彼らに言われた。彼らはナザレ人イエスをと答えた。イエスは彼らに、それは私ですと言われた。イエスを裏切ろうとしていたユダも彼らと一緒に立っていた。イエスが彼らに、それは私ですと言われたとき、彼らは後ずさりし、そして地に倒れた。そこでイエスがもう一度、誰を探すのかと問われると、彼らはナザレ人イエスをと言った。イエスは答えられた。それは私だとあなた方に言ったでしょう。もし私を探しているのなら、この人たちはこのままで去らせなさい。それはあなたが私にくださったもののうち、ただの一人をも失いませんでしたとイエスが言われた言葉が実現するためだった。シモン・ペテロは剣を持っていたが、それを抜き大祭司のしもべを打ち、右の耳を切り落とした。そのしもべの名はマルコスであった。そこでイエスはペテロに言われた。剣を鞘に収めなさい。父が私にくださった杯をどうして飲まずにいられよう。そこで一帯の兵士と千人隊長、それにユダヤ人から送られた役人たちはイエスを捕らえて縛り。
ありがとうございます。
はい、
はい、Okay, we read from John 18 verses 1 to 12. So during the Japanese section, you guys couldRead that by yourselves if you like. John 18, 1 to 12. はい、そして今日はいよいよイエス様の、逮捕された時に着きました。ので今までずっとヨハネの福音書によってイエス様はエルサレムに向かって自分の、死に準備をしました。少しずつ弟子たちにそれに前もって教えてたけど、なかなか彼らは理解できなかった。 でもこの時イエス様はもう顔をエルサレムの方に向いて、そしてエルサレムに行こうとしてた。エルサレムは1週間ぐらい、よく詳しく言うと5日間10日から14日行って、神殿で教えたり、大勢の人たちがイエス様の話を聞いてたけど、しかしこの時にイエス様はもう絶対にエルサレムで死なれるように殺されるようになると分かっていた。イエス様の、逮捕されたことと死の事件を読むと、私たちも あの自分の逮捕された逮捕される死あの日を考えましょう。あ、イエス様は私に従う者はみんなあの、十字架を追ってあの従いなさいと言いましたので、あのこれは軽く考えることではない。私たちはイエス様と共に亡くなる、死ぬ、殺される、断れる、あの拷問を受ける、そういうふうに召されています。あのクリスチャンならそういうものです。キリスト教の、印は何でしょう。あの十字架です。十字架は私たちの宗教をあの表しているものです。私たちは毎日イエス様と共に自分を捧げる。しかしある日に完全に私たちは全てを失う。イエス様のために、神様のために全てを失います。しかしあのこれは毎日そういうわけではない。あの毎日亡くなる、あの実際に亡くなることはないので、その特別な日に関して今日は学びたいと思います。まずはイエス様はキドロン谷を通りました。スティーブンは木曜日に説明したように、その神殿があります。そして東の門は隣にあります。そこから降りてきてキドロン谷に降りる。そしてあのその反対側にオリブ山があります。でそのオリブ山にオリブ畑がいっぱいあります。そしてその中にゲッタシマニの庭があります。オリブ山で育っているあのオリブはあのゲッセマニの庭で潰されて、そしてオリブ油が取られる。だからイエス様はそこで圧迫されました。そこでイエス様は潰されました。彼は完全に神様の前に、まあ、祈りながら、格闘しながら、悩みながら、その御心に自分を捧げました。そして聖霊が出てきました。光は出てきました。キドロンという言葉はカタールというヘブライ語から出てきていますけど、それは川です。まあ、詳しく言うとこのテーブルの色です。シカの皮膚の川のことです。天幕は川に覆われました。でそれはよく私たちの外側を表している、美しくないものです。ですけど、天幕の中は、油が燃えて、そして光がありますように、そしてその中で、捧げ物の血が神様の前に、持っていかれて、私たちの罪が取り除かれている、行いがあります。だからイエス様はまずそっちの方に行きます。降りてきて自分の死に行く。暗いところです。茶色い色で暗いところです。天幕に向かっている。そして彼の中の聖霊が現れるように神様に全てを捧げました。私たちは一日、毎日、一生その準備をしなければならない。本当に私たちの人生の中で一番大事な日は神様のために全てを捧げるその日。人の人生を考えると、宣教師ジム・エリオットはよく出てきますけど、彼は若い時に殉教者になりました。彼の若い時はずっと、その準備をしました。彼はペルーかな、エクアドルか、エクアドルのインディアンの部族に福音を伝えようとして宣教師として行ったけど、結局殺されました。でも彼若い時はずっとその準備をしていた。親はその勝手に彼と兄弟たちを生かして森の中でキャンプする、勝手にいろいろなサバイバル のコツを覚えるために生かした。 その親も結構批判されたようです。そういうことだけど、後ではそれは必要でした。でもずっと彼の人生はその殉教者になる日の準備をしていた。そういう人たちはすごい蘇りがあるでしょう。私たちも殉教者になるか分からないけど、でも絶対に自分の信仰のために立って、全て命でもなくてもあらゆるものを捧げるその日が来る。その日にちゃんと証しすることは何よりも重要です。だから今はそれを絶対に練習しなければならないし、準備しなければならない。まずはヨハネには書かれてないけど、もちろんこのことは4福音書に出てきます。何をしなければならない、どういうふうに準備する。まずはイエス様は祈りました。ヨハネ17章は一章がありますけど、そのイエス様は弟子たちのために祈っている。そして18章になると、イエス様はゲッセメニに行きます。他の福音書を読むと、そこで何回も弟子たちは彼と共に祈るように頼みました。イエス様は他の弟子たちのために祈りはどれだけ必要かを分かっていた。その上、自分に対しても彼らの祈りが必要ということを認めました。彼らの祈りによって彼は運ばれました、支えられました。彼らは祈れなかった、眠くなって祈れなかった。イエス様は本当に私たちが信じられない大変ほど大変な誘惑があると思いますけど、しかし私イエス様は他の人の祈りが必要だったら、なおさらに私たちもそうです。だからまずは自分の証の日にちゃんとできるかできないかということは、一つはじゃあ私たちは他の人のために祈っているでしょうか。彼らが何か通っている時に祈っているでしょうか。もしそうではなかったら、私たちはどうでしょう。その私たちの日に彼らの祈りを要求できるか。そうではないでしょう。本当に私たちはみんなで周りを見て導かれて、人たちの苦しみの時に彼らのための取りなしの祈りとか、支えるための祈りをするように召されている。ここで、2節に、一方イエスを裏切ろうとしていたユダもその場所を知っていた。イエスが弟子たちと、たびたびそこに集まっておられたからである。悪魔であるユダはイエス様の祈りの場所、集まる場所、一緒に祈るところを知っていた。悪魔も皆さんの祈りの習慣を知っているよ。彼はいつ祈ろうとしているかは知っていますので、どうでしょう、そこに行って攻撃するに違いないので、私たちは祈りの時間が攻撃される、奪い取られることを期待しなければならない。私たちは祈りが必要でしょう、でもという態度があるかもしれないけど、しかし本当に必要、イエス様でさえ必要だったら私たちはどれだけ必要でしょう。だから自分の他の人のための祈りの習慣を絶対に奪い取られないようにしましょう。何で奪われるでしょう。考えて、そして前もあらかじめ対策を取りましょう。今の僕の生活では、家に帰ってきたら朝は起きてホームスクーリングがある。そしてできるだけホゼアとかのレッスンがあったり、休憩の時間にその日の準備ができたら、あとはレッスンがあって、ですぐに早くご飯食べて、たまに 車の中で食べる、で学校に来る、そして学校で教える、で夜は眠くなって帰って、次の日に繰り返す。自然にすると祈る時間は絶対ないので、その中で自分のスケジュールの中でもう計画的に入れなければなりません。断食も一応そのように計画的に入れなければしないものですので、私たちはもうこれからこの日に近づいていることのために、本当に他の人のための祈りと神様との祈りの時間を第一優先にしなければなりません。そうじゃないと耐えられないでしょう。イエス様は祈りの中で自分が今日逮捕される、今晩逮捕されることが分かった。なので私たちの祈りの中で本当に具体的なことを聞く期待がありますか？皆さん考えてみてください。祈っている時に具体的な声を待ち望んでいるでしょうか？それか1時間祈ることは目的でしょうか？50分、15分、何でもいいですけど、でもただこのあらゆる人のために祈るだけか、神様の声を聞くこと、神様の声を聞くこと、聖書を読むときもそう、もちろんそうですけど、具体的に導きが来るはずです。毎日具体的なことは言われるか分からないですけど、でもよくあるはずです。そして多くの場合は自分の態度に関して神様は何か指摘するか導く、ある時はこの状態は聖書の何々章何節のあのような状態です、だからそのように今は振る舞いなさいというふうに言われているかもしれない。今はギディオンのような日です、今はエリシャのような日で、今はエレミアみたいな日です。どの状態か聖霊はそれを指摘してくださいますので、それを具体的に聞かなければならない。祈りながら何に聞かれて、神様に何言われているかを具体的に考えましょう。それは第一です。次はイエス様は、その悪魔に面するようになって、イスカリエテユダ、そして彼は誰を探しているかというと、私はそのものだ、ここでイエス様は直接言った。4節、イエスはご自分に起ころうとしていることをすべて知っておられたので、進み出て誰を探しているのかと彼らに言われた。もうイエス様は直接言った。全然どこが安全か悩まなかった。彼はもう直接逮捕されに行きました。私たちももし神様に本当にこの日だと分かっているなら、同じ信仰を持てるでしょう。しかし毎日はその日ではない。その前にイエス様は逃げた、隠れた時があります。ちょっと前にあと大勢の人たちの真ん中を通って、もう安全なところに出て行ってしまった。その時もいっぱいありますので、今日は私は証の日か、それか隠れる日か、いなくなる日か、どうやって分かる？それ祈りながら聖霊に導かれることによって分かるものですので、本当にその大きなことの前に小さなことで習いましょう。神様に今日は誰々に福音を伝える日か、今日は誰々を助けることができる日か、今日はそのことを謝る日か、それによってその導かれる練習が できるでしょう。だから本当に迫害の時に立てるか立てないかは今の祈りの生活によって成り立てるか。はい、最後は最初の1ポイントで、イエス様は今日はその日だけど、でも他の人の日とは限れてないので、自分だけで神様の前に立って祈りの本当に個人的な祈りが必要。教会でみんなで祈ることも必要ですけど、でも個人的な祈り、自分の人生、自分の態度、自分の心、自分の行いは神様に個人的に導かれることです。 OK、 じゃあ次はその逮捕された時の話を進みます。 Alright, so let's begin the beginning. John chapter 18, and we read from verse 1 to 12. So Jesus comes to the point now. We've been reading through John. He comes to the point now where he's going to be arrested. The first thing, there's just three simple points here. The first thing is Jesus knew he was going to be arrested. Then verse 4 says, Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, Whom do you seek? And they said to him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed them, was standing with them. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to face the devil. He went down from, as Stephen explained on Thursday, he went down from the temple, down the hill into the Kidron Valley, and on the other side of the hill was the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives was where they would crush the olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the crushing of the olives, and you get the oil, shemen, from the oil, from the olives. And so Jesus was going to be crushed, just like the olives, and the oil, the Holy Spirit, would come out, and that would become light. So Kidron comes from the word Kadar, which means the deer's skin, the covering of the tent. It's also a word meaning some of the Arab tribes. But the idea is it's the leather that's made from a deer's skin, which is spread over the tent. It's used in the Bible to represent the outward flesh rather than the inward spirit, the outward roughness of our bodies rather than the inward nature. It's also used as a contrast in the tabernacle, for the outside of the tabernacle was not particularly beautiful, whereas the inside was very beautiful. Jesus is going to the tabernacle to become the sacrifice for sins. First he goes to Kedar, and he deals with his flesh. Then he goes to Gethsemane, and then he becomes crushed, and the oil from him in the tent, there is this candlestick and the light that comes from burning that oil, and that's where his blood will be put in front of God, and our sins will be dealt with once and for all. Jesus is going to become a sacrifice for sins. He knew that this was his time to face the loss of all things. Now we also are going to be called to face the loss of all things, and every day is a practice for that. Every day is a preparation for that. But there's no day in your life as important as the day God calls you to lose all things for Him. We think about people like Jim Elliot, the missionary from Oregon, and he went down to Ecuador, and very shortly he became a martyr with some of his friends. They were trying to share the gospel with the Indians. They were speared to death. He was young, and he gave all for God. But his whole life, when he was young, he'd been spent preparing for that time, not only in studying theology, but apparently Dave Hunt talked about his parents, that they would send him out camping, and he would go out into the bush. Well, I suppose they call it the bush out there, the forest, whatever, the woods. And they would camp with his brothers, and they would learn how to just rough it and survive. All of those things would have been perfect missionary training, and I believe they were criticized for letting their kids do dangerous things like that as well. But it did end up helping him in his ministry. His death became a light and an example for a whole generation of missionaries to go out, and how many countless people have heard the gospel because of the many missionaries who went out seeing what happened in Jim Elliot's life. When God calls you to give up everything, that's not a bad day. That's a good day. It's an important day. And this is the day that we're preparing for. But we don't just face that day without preparation. How do we prepare for it? Well, first of all, let's think about what Jesus did. It doesn't actually go into the details in John, but when we read the other ones together, we know the story very well. But John chapter 17, just before this, immediately before this, Jesus spent a whole chapter praying for the disciples. And then, from the other books, we know he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, and the first thing he does was he tells some of his disciples to come along with him and pray with him for an hour. And of course, we know what happened. They fell asleep. They didn't. But from the immediately before this, Jesus spends a long time praying for his disciples. Right immediately before his arrest, he asks his disciples to pray for him. Now think about it. If Jesus himself needed the prayers of his disciples, how much more do we need the prayers of other people? Jesus prayed for them, and he expected them to pray for him. And that is the way that we prepare for persecution, because this is a holistic approach. Not only in prayer do we hear the voice of God as he deals with us about that day's affairs, you know, like today is a day for, you know, you need to get this issue right in your life, or today is a day you should apologize for that, or today is a day that you should help this person, you know, this person, you know, really needs your help in some way now, and God will put those things on your heart. Just as God leads us specifically, Jesus was led specifically to know this is the day that he was to be put on the cross, arrested and put on the cross. And so as we go through our lives and we learn to hear that specific leading of God, as we pray, as we go in the morning before God or in the night, doesn't matter when, but for whatever the near future, God will give you the things that you need. He gives us those specific leadings. We will know when the time comes that we are called to give up all. And so we need to practice hearing that voice. Secondly, Jesus prayed for the other disciples. He prayed for God's will to be done in their lives. Not just that they'd be happy and, you know, healed of this and that. He prayed for them that they would be one in their faith. He prayed that God's name would be in them, that they would be kept in that name, that character, that that character of Christ would be maintained in their life, and that God would deliver them and keep them in evil. Not take them out of evil, but keep them in evil. And God and Jesus also required the disciples to pray the same for him, that he would fulfill the requirement of God at this point. He knew that this had been given to him from God's hand, and he needed strength to face it. And so do we. So we need to learn to pray. We need to learn to pray specifically and hear specifically, and to pray as the Spirit leads us. But also, I want you to see in verse 2, it says, "Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples." Judas in this chapter 18 is so wicked. He is absolutely wicked. Much worse than the other disciples. We can say the other disciples denied Christ. It's true, but they denied Christ at the point of a sword. You know, it says in Mark that they laid hands on one of them and he got away without even any clothes on. You know, they grabbed him and he left his robe and ran away naked. You know, these guys had lanterns and torches, but they also had weapons, and they intended to arrest them. They were put on the spot. They were very unprepared. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were afraid for their lives. And they ended up denying, running away from God. Peter denied him. But it was done in a time of fear. Judas, on the other hand, was totally different. He actually went away and made a deal with the enemy. And he said, "The one that I kiss..." He planned this whole betrayal in his heart. That's a depth of evil which was far beyond anything that the disciples had. They were afraid and ran away. They didn't have enough faith. Judas, on the other hand, was truly wicked. Jesus is dealing with the devil himself here. Satan is in Judas at this point. But notice it says that Judas, if it says Judas knew the place, it means Satan knew the place. Satan knows the place where you pray. He knows the place where you gather for prayer with people. And Satan will do everything he can to attack that place. Judas didn't say, well, let's arrest him in the temple, because he knew that he wasn't going to be in the temple. He knew he was going to be in Gethsemane. Now, where are you? Where is your place of prayer, your time of prayer, your location or situation that you can devote yourself to praying, either in a group and also personally? Where is it? The devil knows. And if you don't have one, the devil doesn't even have to worry about it, because he's already got you. But if you do have one, you have to understand it's going to be attacked. He knows it, and he will do everything he can to try to stop you from praying at that time. He will send you Facebook notifications. So turn your computer off. He will send you other people to come in, close your door, or schedule it in a time that you know you're not going to be disturbed. In my schedule in the week, if I know, you know, I get up in the morning and we do homeschooling, then, you know, if I have a bit of free time, I try to play with Hosea and do some English lessons. And then I've got a little bit of preparation to do for that day. Then I've got to rush out, usually have lunch quickly or in the car, then come to work, lesson, come home tired, and it all happens again, right? Everyone's day is like that, right? We don't really have lots of hours where we can just go away and devote ourselves to prayer or study. We have to schedule those things in. And to schedule them in means sacrificing time. I was thinking recently about fasting and some of the issues that come up if we're going to fast. First of all, if you're tired and fasting, you don't concentrate very well. Your mind is not clear. So it's, I think, for me anyway, it's almost impossible to fast if I'm going to work, because teaching, if I was in a field pulling up, you know, carrots or something, it wouldn't probably matter. But when you're talking to someone, if you don't have a clear mind, what did you say? Sorry, I missed the last 5 minutes. You want, and then you drive home 1.5 hours. You probably die. You can't do that. You can't try to squeeze it in that way. I think it's probably, in our modern civilization at this point, it's probably better to just take the day off. Also, you think, okay, well, what are the days that I'm free? All right, you might be free, but if you spend the whole day fasting, then are you just taking away the time from things that are important at home? So let's think about it. Let's find a time that you can devote to it. Because if you go into it kind of hoping that it might work, the devil very easily will, you know, bring something into your life to stop it. So you make the time. And it's the same with prayer. You make the time. You decide the time. You say, this is the time. I need to be in this place. I need to be undisturbed. Therefore, I'm going to make sure that it happens and everything else is put aside. And at the moment, in my way of thinking, it seems that the only way I can do that is to take a day off. And so maybe that's what I'll do. I haven't decided yet, but I'm thinking about it at the moment. It might be the only option to actually to do that. But nevertheless, I'm just sharing some of the ways that I'm trying to work it out in my own life. Nevertheless, I'm saying the devil knows your prayer. He knows you need it. He knows others need your prayer. And he knows where you do it. And he's going to do his best to attack it. How did Jesus prepare himself? The main way we see immediately before the occasion was prayer. Okay. Let's go on to then number two. そして、2つ目のポイントです。イエス様が逮捕されたことです。見てください。11節。イエスはペトロに言われた。剣を鞘に収めなさい。父が私にくださった杯を飲まずにいられるだろうか。父が私にくださったこの迫害、この死、それは父の御心だった。 ので、イエス様は父の御心だと分かったから、あの勇気を持って、あの前を見て、あの迫害を平気に受けるように、受けることができました。しかしここで指摘したいことは、4節、イエスはご自分に起ころうとしていることをすべて知っておられたので、進み出て誰を探しているのかと彼らに言われた。彼らはナズレ人イエスをと答えた。イエスは彼らに私がそれだと言われた。イエスを裏切ろうとしていたユダも彼らと一緒に立っていた。イエスは彼らに私がそれだと言われた時、彼らは後ずさりし、地に倒れた。イエスはもう一度、誰を探しているのかと問われると、彼らはナズレ人イエスをと言った。イエスは彼らに言われた。私がそれだと言ったではないか。私を探しているのなら、この人たちを去らせなさいと言います。2回誰を探している、強調しているでしょう。誰を探している、私のことですか、もしくはみんなのことですか。いや、キミラは2回ナザレ人イエス言ったので、この人たちではないでしょうということ。まあ、ここで強調されているのは、イエス様は自分で一人でこの迫害を受けることです。この人たちには関係ないということです。だから、なぜこれは重要かというと、その周りの人たちの信仰は弱かったので、イエス様は彼らを去らせなさいと言いました。私たちは迫害を受けるとき、例えば仕事で自分の信仰のために決断しなければならない、忠実で続けるか、それか仕事忠実で仕事をなく失うことか、人をごまかしたり、なんか罪とか妥協して仕事を取っとく、その判断をする日に、私たちは重要な、理解しなければならない重要なことは、自分だけでこの信仰が行われあるんです。他の人は関係ない。自分が今この決断しなければならないけど、例えば他のクリスチャンがいるけど、彼らは私の信仰を持ってない、もういいです、大丈夫です、それは気にしなくてもいい。イエス様はじゃあ私を逮捕するならみんなを逮捕してこいと言わなかった。もう期待しなかった。逆にその他の人たちを帰らせるように、守るように、彼は一人だけで全てを受けた。だから、そういう日に私たちは騙されるでしょう。そしてもうどう見ても今は妥協できない、もう立って正しいことをしなければならない、全て失っても今こそ信仰を示す日だと自分で分かっていても、でも他のクリスチャンはしないかもしれない。裁かないでください、その時に。なぜなら、その人たちはその日に導かれてないかもしれない。イエス様もずっとあらゆる日に迫害されそうだったけど、でも今日こそ十字架につけられるべきその日だった。他の人たちはそのように定められなかった。だから自分が今日その証しをして信仰を示す、そして殉教師になるか仕事なくなるか何か決断しますけど、他の人はそうではないかもしれない。裁かないでください。みんなそれぞれに導かれる。神様は彼らの人生をよく見ている。覚えてください。後でペトロはイエス様に自分の死を紹介された。イエス様はペトロに、あなたはある日に連れて行かれて、結局十字架につけられることを予言しました。でペトロはその日 時に、じゃあこの人はどうと言いました。ヨハネはどう、彼は十字架につけられるかと、私だけかまあどの態度で言ったかわからないけど、イエス様は彼のことを気にしない、あなたは私についてきなさいと言いました。だから本当に他の人はたとえ自分と一緒に立てなくても大丈夫です。彼らは妥協していると限らない。エリアは公に王様の罪を解きました。しかしその彼の仲間、ちょっと名前忘れた、彼の仲間はイスラエル王国 の北王国の中で働いていた。彼は同じように忠実だったけど、でも彼はそういう密かな奉仕に召された。しかしエリアは公な奉仕に召されました。のでクリスチャンはそれぞれ信仰の度合いがあるし、導きもあるし、奉仕もあるので、自分がここで重要で、これこのポイントで殉教者になるべきだと思っても、他の人はそうならなくてもおかしくない。彼らを晒しなさいということです。はい。そしてその時ペトロは剣を出して大祭司のしもべの耳を切った。イエス様はいつも耳のある人は聞きなさいと言いましたでしょ。耳のある人は聞くことができるけど、もし私たちは迫害を断って人の聞く耳を落としてしまったら、その人が福音を聞けないのは私たちのせいです。ので迫害が来るときに、まあできるだけ逃げることはいいですよ。イエス様はその日までに毎回毎回逃げましたけど、でも自分が受けるべきその日だった時に、怒りとか怒っている態度とか憎しみを持って復讐してはならない。なぜならその人たちは後で聞こえるようになるかも。パウロはその一例です。はい。じゃあ次、あともう一つのポイント。So we come to the second point. So Jesus faced the devil. He knew that this was his day. Now, it says here in chapter 18, let's look at it in verse 8 or 7. So he asked them again, whom do you seek? Again, he'd already asked them once. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth, a second time. And Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go. It's important here, because Jesus said, if you're seeking me, let the others go. In other words, Jesus knew that he was called to take a stand on that day. He was called to go to the cross on that day. He was called to testify before governors and kings on that day. He was called to receive terrible persecution on that day. But he made sure that the people who were arresting him said from their own mouth twice, we are here to arrest Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't say Peter, James, John, Paul, or not Paul, but any of the other guys, Matthew, Levi. They didn't mention any of them, Philip. They only mentioned Jesus. And so Jesus said, you've said it twice. Therefore, if you've come to get me, take me. Let these go their way. Why did Jesus say that? Because he knew that it wasn't the day for them to be called to be put on the cross. Now, they could have been. It wouldn't have been strange if the disciples had been crucified with their Lord. It wouldn't have been strange at all. The Romans could easily have done that. But they didn't. And Jesus made sure they didn't. He actually stood in the way and made sure that they would go. Why did he do that? Did he want them to deny him? No, of course not. But he knew that today was the day that he was called to go to the cross. And later on, these would be the ones that would take the gospel into all the world. So he knew that there was more than simply just their lack of faith working here. There was also God's plan. Now, putting it into our perspective, when the day comes for you to take a stand, whether this means you can't continue with this job because of your faith, maybe they say as a teacher you've got to celebrate homosexuality or something in the school. This is happening now. And a teacher might say, well, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And if that's cost me my job, then it cost me my job. That's fine. And if you're in your prayer and in your devotion and faith, you hear the call of God to take that stand, praise God. But don't expect that every Christian has to do the same as you. This is the point. Jesus said, let them go. If you're after me, take me, but let these guys go. Maybe other teachers will say, well, you know, I won't openly celebrate it, but I'll just still do my job as a teacher, you know, or I'll still work at the school, or I'm a maths teacher, I'm here to teach maths. I'm not going to particularly take part in it, but I have to be there on the day. They might take a stand. Maybe to you that seems like a compromise, but the thing with persecution is you are called as an individual to receive persecution. It's not the case that God's going to call you every day to die physically. And it's certainly not the case that God will call every Christian to die on the same day. So you die on the day God calls you to die. You lose everything on the day that God calls you to lose everything. And don't be worried about other people. So Jesus, after the crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus said to Peter that he would be crucified. He said, one day someone's going to come and gird you, tie you up, and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. And he knew that he was talking about the cross, crucifixion. And Peter's response is, well, what about this guy? What's going to happen with him? And Jesus said, don't worry about him, right? This is your time to be put on the cross. Don't worry about other people. They might escape. They might hide and do something that you might consider to be weak. But anyway, this is your day to be put on the cross. So the day that you take your stand is the day that you take your stand. You've got to be sure that God is calling you to take a stand on that particular issue or that particular day. But don't be worried about other Christians who don't take a stand with you. Remember, a few weeks later, those very same other Christians who went their way were also got arrested and spoke to the Sanhedrin and declared boldly that we're going to serve God no matter what you say. And then they caused 5,000 people to believe on that day. We read about it in Acts chapter 4. And then they went home and prayed for boldness, that they would speak the gospel even more boldly and more powerfully, despite the persecution. And then they were whipped. See, their day of testing was coming, but it wasn't that day, and Jesus knew it. So when your day of testing comes, it's your day of testing. Don't be worried if other people don't stand with you. He did expect those people to pray for him, and he did pray for them. But he didn't expect them to die with him. And you shouldn't expect other Christians to die with you. You die on the day God calls you to die. Let other people die on the day that God calls them to die. Okay. All right. The other thing is with the sword. Peter took out his sword and chopped off the guy's ear. Now, every time I read this, I can't help laughing because in the Japanese it says, he chopped the ear off Marcos. If you've ever seen a picture of a Finnish people's photo, passports, Finnish people don't have any ears. So I think every time I think about that, I think, oh, someone must have cut off Marcos's ear. But anyway, Peter chopped off his ear. Now, repeatedly through the Gospels, you hear it, give ear, lend your ear to God. The Old Testament is full of that expression, give ear, meaning pay attention. Jesus said, if you have an ear to hear, let him hear. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. If you chop someone's ear off, they no longer have an ear to hear. And then their hardness of heart is your fault. So in the time when we are persecuted, we've got to be careful not to have any revenge or any anger or hatred towards the people who are bringing us persecution. That's very difficult, but by the Spirit of God, this is what we are to do. Jesus said, put your sword away. And he said, we're to receive the cup that the Father has given. Because Peter chopped the guy's ear off, then he is not able to hear the gospel. But Jesus healed his ear in an act of love, meaning that he was able to see in the midst of that terrible situation the forgiveness and mercy and love of God. So in our persecution, if we accept it gracefully, knowing it's the will of the God, What a powerful testimony that is. And remember, the other disciples, a few weeks later, they copied Jesus' example and did the same thing. And so it's a very, very powerful testimony when we are persecuted without responding with any harsh feelings. In fact, it could be the most strongest possible testimony there is. And so Jesus healed his ear. Okay, all right, last point. はい、最後は、使徒4章に、弟子たちは数週間後で、同じように神殿に行って、奇跡をして、そして公に福音を伝えて、サンヘドロンの前に出された。その議会で、もう本当に聖霊に召されされて、大胆に、あなた方が十字架につけたイエス様こそ、すべての人はその皆によって救われなければならないと言いました。彼こそ救い。彼らは大胆に語りました。で、後で、多くのクリスチャンが集まってきて、自分のもの、自分の土地、自分のお金を神様の、弟子たちの足元に置いて、教会の働きがどんどん進みました。なぜでしょう？彼らは、良い、イエス様は良い証をしたから。私たちもその大胆さを祈りましょう。本当に毎日すべてを失うことはないけど、でも毎日は大胆に語れるでしょう。毎日は他の人のための信仰のために祈れるでしょう。毎日自分の導きとか神様の声を待ち望むことができるでしょう。悪魔に攻撃されるに違いないので対策をしましょう。奪われないように、その祝福を奪われないように、その大事な奉仕が邪魔されないように、何を具体的に何をしますか。来週考えてみてください。どの日に取りなしをしますか。どの日に神様に十分時間を与えて祈るんですか。どの時に聖書を学んで、ただ聖書を読むだけではなくて本当に神様を求める状態を作りますか。もし計画がなかったら、だからこそ私たちは負けているでも計画があっても、何をしてそれを支えるでしょうか。絶対うまくいくことを保証するでしょうか。どの対策をする。まあ私たちは全てをコントロールできないですけど、でも計画を作ることもできますので、導かれながら祈り、取りなし、聖書を読むこと、その時間を入れましょう。そして大胆に語れるように祈りましょう。神様は私たちに声を与えた。それは彼の御言葉を伝えるため。ユダの仲間はここで3つの剣がありました。1つは武器、もう1つは灯火、でもう1つは松明。松明、灯火、武器。それは全部イエス様に対して用いられた武器です。松明は遠く見るもの。灯火は足元を近く見るもの。武器は殺すもの。それは悪魔の武器です。悪魔も、ゴリアテも同じように、遠く投げ槍、なんというかな、ジャブリンを持っていて、そして槍を持っていて、そして近く殺せるような剣を持っていた。3つの武器を持っていた。でも、松明と灯火を考えると、それは詩編119編を考えるでしょう。御言葉は私の、道の光、私の足元の灯火。それは御言葉です。あと御言葉は剣と両刃の剣と、例えられるヘブル書で、私たちは迫害を受ける日にやっぱり悪魔は賢いから、本当に霊的な根本的な聖書的な理由で私たちを迫害、言い訳を作ることはできます。だから教会の中で 断れることもあります。それは大変です。ですけど、私たちは負けない、絶対に負けないように自分の信仰を学びましょう。自分の大胆、自分の声が大胆に語れるように、神様の純粋な御言葉を伝えれるように、そのタイミングと信仰を求めましょう。私たちは本当に箱が受けるだから受けましょう。でも必要な時だけ受けましょう。神様の定めた時だけ受けましょう。他の時は準備をしましょう。そして人を裁かない。じゃあ、that's it. 最後のポイントでした。Okay, so just the last point. In Acts chapter 4, we see the disciples, and they followed in the example of Christ. So they had denied, they had been weak in faith, but very shortly after, within 2 months, they themselves are being arrested. They themselves are testifying before, you know, the Sanhedrin, the same court that Jesus was tried by. And they themselves testified powerfully. And they told them where to go. They said, you know, you can make your own decision about faith in God, but we have to follow God. Then they went home and they prayed for boldness, that they would speak even more boldly for the Lord. And the Lord answered them with an earthquake. He made the world move because of their faith. We need to take this seriously. Persecution is not something to fear, although it might be scary, but it's not something that we should fear. It's from God, and if God has given it to us, it has a good reason, has a good purpose. It's a time where God can shake things up. And if God uses us as a martyr, so be it. But if God wants to shake up the world, let's let God shake up the world. The world needs to be shaken up. This country needs to be won to Christ. Other countries need to be won, and they're not going to be won by us fitting in with the world. They're going to be won by us showing the death and resurrection of Jesus. Okay, so we need to study our faith. We need to keep those prayer times and guard them. We need to think about when exactly this week we're going to give our time to prayer, give our time to study, give our time to listen to what God is speaking to us. There's so many specific things we need to do here, and it's all practice for that day. Okay, all right, that was the last point, so let's pray. 天の父様、感謝します。どうか私たちの信仰を守ってください。どうか必要な時に私たちは立って語れるように力を与えてください。本当に他の人のために命を捧げる、それ以上の大きな愛がないので、その愛を私たちの人生でも示してください。感謝します。イエスの御名によって祈ります。Amen.